word, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. Today I've got some pigtails for you. Amen. So we're going to kind of look. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Good to see Brother Jury. You're out of the hospital. Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. God is always good. Again, always. Praise God. Amen. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just begin to read in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So, you know, here it sounds like Simon Peter just writing to us all, right? All us that have received the Lord. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, I think that I may be in chapter 1. I need to be in chapter 2, so I apologize. Okay? I'm just going to read it all to you. Is that all right? I like that, but I better go to chapter 2, verse 1. When I said 1, then I just went to chapter 1. I'm sorry, they're both on the same page here. All right. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I just want to stop there just long enough to say this. Notice there were false prophets and there are still false prophets today. Amen. Now, you, in order to be a false prophet, then apparently you must have been in a position to prophesy. And notice here that it says that they deny the Lord that bought them. Now, some folks that are into eternal security, they'll try to explain that away. If you've been bought, then you were bought. Right? You can try to explain that away any way you want to, but they were bought, but they denied him. Can I say it this way? They were saved, but then they turned away from him. We're going to find that out as we go down through here. That's what I want you to see in this. And I understand the subject is false prophets, but you have to also see what the substance of this whole thing is here. So he says they deny the Lord that bought them. And it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now, let me just kind of stop there and tell you, Lot's living in the city of sin, and notice that the Lord says he's still righteous even though there were temptations. Can I tell you right now, we're living in a world of sin. And you are the righteousness of God. And there will be temptation, but the Lord knows how to deliver. So all you got to do is just trust in the Lord. Everything going to be all right. Keep leaning to Him, okay? Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that are they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of the adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and they are again and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I wanted to read the whole chapter because I wanted you to get a picture of what Peter was trying to tell us. First of all, he's telling us that just like there were then, there are today false prophets that are pushing their own agendas. They're telling you certain things are right, certain things are okay. They're saying God approves of this and God approves of that when God doesn't. I want you to notice there it says if you're not careful that you can be deceived by these people. Amen. Be careful that you're not deceived by people that are going against what the Word of God says, because the Word of God is your standard. The Word of God is your weight or measure that you go by, no matter what anybody else is saying. I don't care what I'm saying, see what the Word of God says. Amen. Don't matter what another pastor is saying, see what the Word of God says. Weigh what we say against the Word of God, and if it's not the Word of God, then you know it's not right. Amen. Amen. You say, well, why would you say that about yourself? I'm human, I can make mistakes, but I'm going to try my best to stay right there with the Word of God. But it's good for you to look for yourself so that you make sure that you keep yourself on the right track. Notice that he goes on and he talks about then, getting on down into it, he talks about the fact that there were those that had escaped the pollutions of the world. Right? Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had escaped it. They'd gotten saved. They'd gotten out of the world and into the kingdom of God. But notice it says they got entangled there again and were overcome. Now, let me just help you. I deal with a lot of people from time to time, and they think that they've gone too far to be able to come back to the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something. You'd have to go a long, 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 long way to go so far that you couldn't get back into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not telling you to do it just because you can't. I'm telling you that the only thing that would keep you from being able to not get back in the kingdom of God is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Number one, a lot of folks have never even been filled with the Holy Ghost to blaspheme against Him. And then if you go over and look in Hebrews chapter 6, you kind of get a little gauge as to how what it would take to get to that place where there's no forgiveness of sin again. And it talks about the fact that, you know, that you've tasted of the heavenly gift, you've been enlightened, and you've tasted of the powers of the world to come. You go there in chapter 6, read that. There's about four things there that it talks about. It says, if then you turn from the holy commandment. In other words, somebody like me should not be turning from the Lord. I've operated in the gifts. I know better than to just say there is no God. And basically, that's what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is, to know for sure that there is a God and then turn away and say, no, there's no God. And not many people have ever done that. Amen. See, that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So most folks, where they're at is they get entangled back into the world's affairs again. Now, notice that if they get entangled and overcome, they go back to where they're at. So you have to be careful, because just because you came out of something doesn't mean you can't get caught back up in it. One of the, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, but one of the biggest things for folks is you've got to be careful who you're around and who you hang with, especially after you're a child of God. It's important to hang around people of like faith. I'll be honest with you, it's important, you know, when you know you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you know the truth of the Word of God, sometimes it's hard to hang around even the other brothers and sisters. You can love them, but it's hard to fellowship with them, because if they won't believe what the Word says, that makes it a little bit difficult. That makes things there's some tension there, because you know the truth and they don't know the truth, but they won't receive the truth. Come on, some of you got some family like that, I know. You know, you believe in healing, but they don't believe in healing. You believe in miracles, but they don't believe in miracles. You believe that it is God's will to heal, and they believe He can heal. You see, and so there's a big difference there. You know, because they're over in this other stuff. And, you know, it's just simply because they ain't been taught. But that makes sometimes the conversations uncomfortable. So it's good when you can get around brothers and sisters that when you say, man, I thank God He's my healing, they'll say, amen, you're already healed in Jesus' name. You see, that just adds a little fire to the thing. You know, so be careful who you're around, what you're listening to. Don't get tangled up again. Because notice there, he said, if they're entangled again and overcome, then they become like the dog that went back to his vomit, and the hog that had been cleaned back to its wallowing. Now, here's what I want you to understand about that. You have to want to stay clean. Amen. You have to be careful and be on guard, because your nature, because of the flesh, is to go with the flesh. That's just human nature. But you've got to understand, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you've got you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, according to the Word of God. And so you have to listen to your spirit man now and let him be your guide, because now you have a spiritual nature. You always have had. You just didn't know it till you got born again, just exactly what kind of spiritual nature you had. So now you have to listen to your spirit man. Let him be your guide. Don't let your flesh be your guide. Amen. Because if you let your flesh be your guide, you're going to be, you know, the dog's going to go back, he's going to vomit and go back and lick it up. That's pretty gross, isn't it? You know, it's pretty gross for Christians to go back to their old ways, too. It's talking about that hog being cleaned up and then going back to the mud and wallow. And we're growing up as kids, you know, some folks still got some raised hogs and stuff, but most people raised their own. And one of the worst places you could ever go was around that hog pen. That was one of the stinkinest places that you had ever been in your life, you know, and just the mud and the slop. And hey, Brother Mark still got pigs, don't you, Brother Mark? Now, they taste mighty good, right? Come on. He's still raising them. One of these days I need to bring Lillian over and let her see some of the piglets. We got to grow up seeing stuff like that. These younger kids not getting to see anything. It's kind of sad, you know. We were just talking the other day, and here I am off subject again, but we were just talking the other day about hog killing weather. How many knows what hog killing weather means? There's a few of you knows what hog killing weather means, but used to, when it started getting cool in the fall and started getting cold and the flies and stuff weren't so bad and everything, they called that hog killing weather. And what would happen is all the farmers that were raising hogs, they'd start then planning on slaughtering the hog. They didn't go to no slaughterhouse. They went to the hog pen and got their hog. Well, actually, just depend. I don't want to get into it. But anyway, they got... Make a long story short, the hog ended up on a big wooden sled, usually pulled by a mule, and they were boiling the water to pour over that hog to scrape the hair off from it. And they had some hangers there, and they'd hook in its back legs, hang that thing in the air, and they'd gut it right there, and they'd slaughter that thing right there, and everybody in the neighborhood come around. Because everybody wanted a piece of that meat. Right? And sometimes because there was a fire, wooden fire there, boiling that water, they'd cut the spleen out of that thing or cut the tail off from it, and they'd roast it there in the fire. See, some of you are already going, oh my gosh. Well, you like the pork chops, so just give it a break, okay? That's still part of the hog. I'll never forget when I was a child, I walked in one time in my papa's house, and he had a plate. He was sitting at the table, and the whole plate was full with a big pig's ear. And I was just like, nah, I don't know. Didn't want that pig's ear. Now, you know, some of you are saying, well, that's good. Well, that's, you know, it depends. I do like pickled hog feet. See, there's a few of us. Some of us old folks. Now, some of you young folks are just like, you know, folks around here was different. And people did different families, different sects cook different, you know. Now, we chicken dumplings, we liked ours, you know. I liked the yellow chicken and dumplings. Most time that was done with food color. Some of the times it was done with a real fat chicken. But I'll never forget one boy had just been married to this girl for not very long, and he went over to his mother-in-law's, and she's cooked a big dinner. And she's fixed chicken and dumplings. And he said, man, I love chicken and dumplings. So they got him a plate and went over there. And he said when he dug into that big cooker of chicken and dumplings, when he pulled up his spoon, here come a chicken's foot with it. Because they use chicken's feet in their chicken and dumplings. And he said, that did it for the dumplings for me for that day. I just saw him the other day. I hadn't saw him in years. That made me kind of think of that. But you how in the world did I get all the way over there? I got to bring this thing all the way back to about unclean. I was talking about hogs being unclean, okay? You can take that hog and you can clean it up and polish it up real pretty. You can put you a bow on it, you know. You can give it a nose ring. Anybody know that that's where the nose rings originated from, was from hogs? I can't help it. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, but when I see somebody with a nose ring, I don't see somebody with a nose ring. Immediately, my thoughts go back to my childhood and them old hogs with the rings in their nose. And they put them there so they couldn't root and get out of their pen. That's why they put them in. It would hurt if they tried to take their nose and dig out of their pen, so they'd ring their nose. Forgive me if you have a nose ring. I don't know. I don't know anybody in here that has one. I'm just getting myself in trouble, okay? But you can take that hog and fix it up as pretty as you want to. Make a pet out of it. But if you let that hog outside, you know what it'll do? It'll find it some mud. And it'll get right down in that mud and it'll just wallow until it's as nasty as can be. Why? Because that's what it naturally does. It's the nature of the pig. And that's what Peter's trying to tell us. We have to be careful that we don't go back or fall back to our old nature. Because this old nature, this flesh nature, it wants to sin. Amen. It's this body. It wants what it wants. And so in these scriptures, he's talking about you get entangled to it again and get overcome. Be careful about getting entangled again. The best thing you ever did, just stay away. When that thought comes, cast it down like the Word of God says you can. But I wanted to show you all this just to show you that according to the scriptures, it is possible for somebody to be in and then get out. Now, and I'm, you know, I understand that there's denomination on top of denomination and big preacher on top of big preacher, famous preacher on top, that they'll tell you that once you're in grace, you're always in grace, and that there's nothing that you'll ever do that can take you out of the kingdom of God. Well, I need to tear that page out of my Bible because it's messing with me. Because it's talking about they deny the God that bought them. It's telling me that they escaped the pollutions of the world through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they got entangled again. And when they got entangled again, they went back to where they were. Anybody else see that? I don't want to be a pig. Come on. I want to be a child of God. I don't want to go back to that. I want to make sure I stay in the kingdom of God. So in this pig's tale, he goes back to where he came from, back to his old nature. Matter of fact, he just refused to stay clean. Now, go with me over to Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "And they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place to the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." Now, I wanted to bring this out for you so that you can see what's going on. First of all, here we have a man that's possessed with many demons. He called himself Legion, because there were so many. One man with that many demons. I don't know what he had been into. The Bible doesn't tell us what he had been into. But apparently he had been into some things that allowed them to enter into him. And nobody to this point had helped him. Now notice that once the man sees Jesus, the demons are what recognizes, because they go and they fall down before him. And they begin to speak out of him. They start talking. They know who Jesus is. And the first thing they do is ask him not to cast them into outer darkness, not to cast them out before their time. Let them go into the swine. And Jesus allowed them to go into the swine. The Bible says there's about 2,000 swine. So I'm going to suppose there were at least 2,000 demons that go into those swine. Now here's the interesting thing. This man has been carrying around 2,000 demons, and as soon as one enters into the swine, they take off running down the slope and kill themselves. The swine refused to live with demons on the inside of them. Come on, think about this. You know, around here there have been some sayings like, "Well, you're smarter than a hog." Some people are not smarter than a hog. Some folks are still living their lives and carrying around demons because they don't want to get rid of them. See, it's a choice you have to make. That you don't have to allow that demonic spirit to stay in you. Amen. You don't have to have somebody cast it out. It's okay if you want somebody to cast it out, but you have the power through the Spirit of God to get that thing out of your life. But it's a decision you've got to make. You've got to decide. So notice that the pigs were really smarter than the man, because they weren't going to live with no demon on the inside of them. And this man, he's been living day and night crying. I'm sure that maybe he wanted to get clean maybe at times, but then whatever was going on, whatever was in his life kept him there. folks ignored. Nobody wanted to help him. And along comes Jesus, and Jesus helps him. Now, there's more to this thing then. The people that have been keeping the swine, of course, they've lost their job. They're running to the city to tell the owners of the swine. Here comes the owners of the swine, people out of the city. They're there and they tell them what goes on. And the people that own the swine just wanted Jesus to leave. Just get out of here. They cared more about their pigs than they cared about this man that had just gotten delivered. See, a lot of folks care more about their stuff than they do people. Come on. We got to be careful, church, that we're not some of those that are caring more about our stuff than we do people. Maybe caring more about our pet pigs than we do people. Jesus came so that we could all be delivered. And sometimes you and I are so busy with our stuff that we don't take the time to help somebody that needs to be delivered. It's getting quiet in here now, isn't it? We see somebody that needs healing and we don't take the time to pray for them. Come on now. You have to understand this. Jesus gave you the authority and the power that He gave you so that you could help a lost and dying world out here. It's important if it's just one person. You know why it's so important? Because if you read the rest of this story, you'll find out that that man that had those 2,000 demons in him, after they were cast out, he's sitting there in his right mind. Nobody cares. And when Jesus gets ready to leave, the man asks him, he says, "Can I go with you? Let me go with you." And all Jesus does is says, "No, you go home and you just tell everybody about the good things the Lord did to you or did for you." And later on, when Jesus comes back to Gennesaret, all of a sudden, it's not one man full of demons that meets Jesus, but the whole city now has come out to meet Jesus Christ. Why? Because one man that Jesus delivered and his testimony had evangelized that whole city to where they just couldn't wait for Jesus to come now. Now they wanted to see the man that delivered the guy with demons. See, you never know when just one person's life that you change, what a reaction that can have. How that it can spring out from one person. Because sometimes one person will win a whole family. Sometimes one person will win a whole community. If I remember right, the story of Billy Graham, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Billy Graham, that the preacher that was preaching held a revival that week. And he went home that night and he was so disappointed. He had preached all week, revival, one person got saved. One person got saved. His wife told his wife, he said, just one person got saved. But his name was Billy Graham. How many people got saved under Billy Graham's ministry and still getting saved under the Graham ministry? One person, see, can make a difference. So we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in our stuff that we forget about what's really important. Take the time when you don't have the time. And that's hard for a lot of us. I mean, you know, time is all you have. Right? You trade your time for money. Right? That's the commodity that you have. You go to a company and you trade your time for their money. That's how you get money. So time is very valuable. But you have to take time because there's things in this world that's greater than money. And you and I have to be able to recognize and know that we don't want to be like those that just own the swine and don't care about anybody else. We want to make sure that we care about the people also. That's the heart God gave us, matter of fact. is for you and I to love one another and also to love the unlovable. Amen. And I know it's tough for us. Anybody in here want to be smarter than the pigs? I want to be smarter than the pigs. But here they just run Jesus out. They didn't care. And just let me say this to you. It's just something that came to me as I studied this. It don't matter what good works you do. There will be always be those people that refuse to see it. Amen. There will always be people that refuse to see it. It don't matter what you do, no matter how many lives you change, no matter, there's always going to be somebody that just won't, they just refuse. Those folks that own the swine, they just refuse to see that guy. And maybe you're making some sacrifices, maybe you're doing some things and people just don't see it. Well, God sees it. Amen. God knows about it, so give Him glory. Now, listen to what Matthew's told us to do here concerning those that just won't see it. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What's he talking about here? Let me tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about those out there that refuse to listen and don't care to listen. And even though you love them with all your heart, or maybe you don't love them with all your heart, but you don't want to see them go to hell, don't let them beat you down over you trying to give them the Word of God. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. In other words, don't let them count your righteousness as nothing, and that you're wrong. See, the world's trying to tell you and I that Christianity is wrong. They're trying to tell us that we're racist because we go against what the Bible goes against. Come on, they're trying to tell us that we're prejudiced because we go with what the Word of God says. And nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, we want done what's right. And it's not our fault if people don't want to do right. Now, here's the thing. You can tell them what's right, but don't let them sit there and badmouth you over it because they won't receive it. You're trying to give what's holy to dogs and they won't receive it. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. You can tell somebody, but you need to just stay there and just keep on taking a beating. Because he says they'll trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. All you can do is tell them, and it's up to them whether they receive it or not. Once you tell them, your responsibility is over. Now, if they're interested, then you just press on in. But if they turn you away, did you notice the guy trying to give the card when they didn't want nothing to do with him? He just walked away. And sometimes that's what you have to do. If they won't receive you, Jesus told the disciples when they went into a city and a house, if they didn't receive them there, just come back out of there and wipe the dust off their feet and go somewhere where they would be received. Amen. You see, so you have to understand there's always going to be people, no matter what they see, they're going to refuse to want it. Or in some instances, they'll just ignore it like it's not even happened. Just like it's not even there. And so you have to be able to overcome that as a child of God. And you just keep right on testifying. You just keep on telling folks about Jesus. You just keep right on letting them know that the Word of God is the most important thing. Amen. Just let them know. One more scripture. Let's go. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. And let's just go ahead and read it, and then we'll just kind of summarize it as fast as we can for you. It says, verse 11 of Luke 15, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now, this is an interesting story because we have a young man that's in father's house, but he was not content being in father's house. Can I just tell you something? If you're here today and you got in church early and you really never got out and sowed the wild oats and did all that, you are a one blessed individual. See, so many times people like that, maybe they were raised in church and you've been in church all your life and that's all you know is church. Thank God for that. Because so many times people will say things like, "Well, you know, I never did get out and see nothing. I never did that." Well, thank God you didn't. This young man is kind of one of those, you know. He's not content being there. He's been in father's house all along. So he wants to go out and experience the world. And he gets a good dose of it. Because the world will absolutely eat you up. He goes out. Now, see, the Bible teaches that there's pleasure in sin for a season. He goes out and he's having a good time as long as he's got money. Anybody notice that? He spent all of his money on riotous living, but all of a sudden he runs out of money. There's a famine. The Bible says he was in want and no man helped him. What happened to all those friends that helped him spend his money? They're on to somebody else, helping them spend their money, because that's just the way the world does. They just go from place to place. I can speak from experience in the drug arena. As long as one of the druggies has got money or got pills, they've got a lot of friends. But when they run out of money or run out of pills, all of a sudden they don't have nobody. As long as you've got money or pills, they'll come along, pick you up, take you wherever you want to go. They'll drive you to your destinations as long as you've got the money and pills. But when you run out of money, you run out of pills, it's over. I know that to be a fact. I've seen it in personal accounts. The world does not care about you. He goes out and he spends it all. Matter of fact, he has to do something that no Jewish boy ought to ever have to do, because the swine was an unclean animal to a Jewish person. He has to sell himself out as a slave, and the job he gives him is to feed the swine. Now here he is, this boy that's come from father's house, been raised up right, been taken care of. All of a sudden now, he's down at the hog lot feeding the stinky pigs slop. You want to know what makes it worse? He is so hungry because he is so down, so out, so without, that he is tempted to eat the corn cobs out of the slop. See, when you get in the world, there's no telling how low you will go if you've not got Father's protection. And see, that's the story the devil never tells you. He paints the pretty picture. Well, they're partying. They're having a good time. Man, they're having fun. That's, you ought to be in part of it. But the devil never shows you the after party. The devil never shows you somebody down on their hands and knees with their arms wrapped around a commode throwing their guts up. The devil never shows you somebody so high that they pass out and their face falls down in their food and they're passed out in their food. I'm talking from experience. He never shows you somebody so high that they've got the munchies and while the food's in their mouth they're chewing, they pass out with the food in their mouth. So I want to paint this picture for you because I want you to understand there is nothing in this world out here for you. They may try to paint some pretty pictures. They may even talk about what a good time they had, but they're lying. Did you hear me? They're lying because most of them don't even remember what they did. Come on. And so we have to understand this story. He's out there and now he's got nothing. And something the Bible says here is really interesting because it says, and when he came to himself. Isn't that interesting? When he came to himself. Well, that to me speaks that maybe he's so far caught up in the world, he's kind of lost his mind. He's kind of out of it. He's not thinking right. Can I tell you, you get caught up in the world, you won't think right. Folks that get caught up in the world, they're caught up in drugs, caught up in alcohol, caught up in those things, they don't think, I got to quit this. Get me a job so I can get me some real money or I got to quit this and go back to my family. No, they're always just thinking, where can I get the next fix? What can I find to sell to get the next fix? What can I find to steal to get the next fix? They're kind of out of their mind. This boy's so out of his mind he's almost ready to eat slop. And the Bible says he came to himself. And he started thinking about Father's house. And he started thinking, I'm a servant to this guy and I'm about to eat slop. My Father's servants have plenty of bread. They've got bread to spare. They're eating good. They're doing good. I'm going to go back to Father's house and become a servant in Father's house because that's a whole lot better than where I'm at now. And the Bible says he made up his mind to come back to Father's house. And he says he's on his way back. I'm sure in his mind he's wondering, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder if Dad will even let me be a servant or not. I took my part. I left and I've blown it now. I left him. I ain't been back to see him. He don't know where I've been. He don't know how I've been. And he was right. Because the Bible says why he was still a great way off. His father saw him. Listen. You don't see somebody a great way off unless you're looking for them. I believe there wasn't a day that the father wasn't looking for his son to come walking up that road. Looking for his son, wondering, is he dead? Is he alive? Where is he? How is he? And that day he saw him coming. And before the son could ever get home, his father came running to him. And he begins to tell the servant, go get the robe, go get the ring, go get the shoe. Go. And he's looking at him and says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I've made a shame out of you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he tells his servant, this is my son. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost. But now he's found. You see, that's the love that the father has for his kids. That young man had went about as far as any person could ever go away from father's house. Yet the father was right there waiting for him to return. Can I tell you that you've not gone too far from father's house? He's watching. He's waiting for you to turn and come back. And when you come to Father's house, He's going to come running to you and He's going to meet you on the way. So a lot of folks, it's hard to get them to understand when you're lost. The Father loves you just as much as He loves the person that's saved. He's watching and waiting for you just as much as He is for one of His kids. But you've got to make the turn. How many remembers when you first started up that aisle to get saved? You don't remember nothing after you've made a step or two. All of a sudden you're up there and you're praying and God saves you. You really don't remember the walk up the aisle, even though the devil's saying you don't want to walk up in front of all those people. You can't walk up there. You're too embarrassed to get up and walk up. Why would you do that? And all along the Father's saying, come on. You just make the move and I'll meet you. you